things this organization could do is develop an advocacy strategy, do the kinds of things like we did on Thursday at Capitol Day. There are so many issues we have to face. I'm not going to list them here, but there are so many issues that we have to face and so many different fights that we have to fight from local to state to national. I think it's really important to have an advocacy strategy and a strong advocacy component to our organization.
Hey! You won't get any argument there.
Okay. This is Maureen.
Who's speaking?
Maureen Schultz.
Maureen.
I would like to say...
Say which chapter you represent, Maureen, just so we... Because it's my chapter.
Bayview.
I'm proud.
Yes.
She's Bayview chapter president.
I would like us to become as clear about our vision as possible. I would like us to become even more mindful of our and strength as a community and of our own resources. And in 3 years, I would like to see us less dependent on corporate handouts. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's next? Any other? Come on.
Oh, we got a bunch.
Oh, we got a bunch of people. Got a hand. We've got. How many people have their hands up, Brooks? Okay. We'll go as long as we can.
So the three things.
Vita, is it Beth or?
It's Beth.
It's Beth.
Now you can tell our voices apart. Mine's hoarse.
Yep.
Oh, now it's working. Okay. So the three things I would like to see is that we cultivate a professional staff. And I'm not saying that we don't have one. We do. But I would like to see some of those positions paid. I would also like to see us being able to do major events that maybe don't concern, you know, we already have the money, so we can do educational events and let more people know about the great advocacy programs that we do, and maybe be able to expand our outreach to the whole state, because I think we're really having a trouble doing that because our affiliates, some of our affiliates, are not as strong as we would like them to be. And I'm going to pass this to Vita.
Good morning. This is Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah, my voice is very tired. I think that what we really need is some services. I think services, quote unquote, sell. And the main thing I would like to see us do is offer technology training. I think it would be wonderful. We had our own training classroom. And it doesn't have to be specifically for employment. It could just be because you want to learn how to use social media or whatever it is you want to learn. But I think learning technology to make people more independent is the future.
Thank you, Vita. There are lots of hands, and Brooks is it Brooks?
Yeah.
Is taking him kind of in the order that he sees him.
This is Gene Lozano. I would like to see that we get into offering the state as a whole in-service training for different entities like hospital, social work, facilities that need to know how to work with people that are blind or have low vision. And that these people that would do the training actually would be paid, so that we'd start an employment process, getting skilled people with, so that we could start employment ourselves for people, but also could then make inroads on some of the attitudes and a lot of different kinds of organizations, social services, health services, And I think that could help. And we got people that maybe that have retired or want to fully employed but want to do some additional work that have the skills and the qualifications that the quote, they're professionals in their areas. The other thing is I would like to see a staff position created. It could be a part-time one, but a public affairs information person who will actually then be have the responsibility of marketing the organization when we're having, like, for instance, conventions, that they are saturating the local community with the organization. What will be happening at the conventions? What the organization is about, and scheduling interviews on the radio and TV, whatever it is to get that out, and not just and year round doing that. And I think that will also bring in the funds we're hoping and the greater recognition. So thank you.
Goes right back to our original strategic plan, doesn't it?
Olivia Ostergaard, Fresno chapter. I'm kind of new at this outfit, but my experience with the other group for a long, long time before they threw me under the bus, I know that they had or do have training centers for blind and visually impaired folks to go and learn mobility skills, daily living skills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, they don't allow dogs. So I think we need to step up to the plate on this, folks, and start planning for our own CCB training center here in California, and maybe it'll go nationwide, where people can come if they want to learn cane travel, fine. If they've got a dog, fine. Don't discriminate, because that's a personal choice. And I think once people start to go to places like that, they will begin to have the confidence of skills that they need.
Thank you, Olivia.
Hi, Bonnie Rennie from Orange County. I agree with everything that's been said, especially the tech training. I'm thinking of unmet needs or changing needs in the blind community for outreach. For example, there was a big discussion of all the diabetic people in this group. And we're also talking about advocacy, many things that overlap. In our system where we've had, you're either an affiliate, which is a lot of stuff to go through, or you're a committee, and we're dwindling our committees, it seems. I'd like to see some entities carved out, I don't care what they're called, such as for diabetics, perhaps a friends in art thing. I think technology, more ways of making like kits, let's say. If you want to have a support group for seniors in your community, and they're mostly going to be low vision folks, that's one kind of example of a kit, an outreach kit. Same for mentoring. And employment is something that our chapter has gotten interested in. Looking to fill in gaps, not to be professional, as agencies do, but to look at the unmet needs. And I think what would help us get over that is if people could be, and maybe paid for it, to have a project, develop some materials for support groups, for mentoring, perhaps for advocacy, and also day-long seminars, more regional things, such as we've had in Southern California recently. So many of our people cannot afford conventions, and we don't like it, but it's a reality, and trying to have more ways of offering them an alternative. Maybe we could have a day long during the convention, if we get Zoom or whatever, where the proceedings could be piped into a central location, say in Los Angeles or San Francisco or San Diego, where people could come and participate that way. Thank you.
Can we get a sense of how many more people are waiting to speak?
52. Sorry, Judy.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Lorraine Theveny from San Francisco chapter, and I know that we are doing a mentoring program, and I'd like to see that continue and grow, and I envision that many members within or new members will be mentored, and that will continue to grow our talent and skills.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Hi, Judy. Hi, board. This is Ken. Something I even mentioned the other day in the technology program on Thursday was that I would be asking the board and yourself, Judy, about starting someone mentioned it before, the diabetic group, and I said that the other day. There's already an ACB Diabetics in Action, and we had talked in that group a few years ago about starting affiliates. And some of the things, well, we really talked about for a good long while Thursday, had to do with diabetes and the type of equipment that is available, and even unfortunately more so, the types of equipment that is not available for persons that are blind or low vision. And I mentioned that day that I would like to see us start that particular affiliate of the California Diabetics in Action. And I'd also like to see us start doing workshops. When we talk at workshops here at conventions, a lot of times about leadership, we're talking more about, you know, what you have to do to lead the organization and what you have to do to recruit people. We need to start teaching people on a lower level. We need to teach folks when they come in, and then teach them, how do you lead a chapter meeting? How do you do things on your local level? How do you build up from the local level to the state level? And then, of course, if they want to go further, then ACB can take that over. But sometimes we're way ahead of the game. We're putting the chicken before the egg. And we need to start on a lower level and move up. And once we, if we're fortunate to get into Zoom meeting, but even with conference calls and stuff, they're not the best, but we do telephone programs, and we need to have more of that type of thing. We used to have two conventions a year. I was not a popular person the first time I brought up going to one convention, and yet we had to. And so we can supplement that convention, now that it's once a year, with in many other ways that would still be productive to this organization, and let people realize what we have done, teach them the history of the organization, why we're here, and what they may not have had we not been here. Thank you.
You know, one of the columns that I wrote that I've gotten the most feedback on is one I wrote about a year ago called The Road Not Taken. Or no, it was based on the Jimmy Stewart movie, A Wonderful Life. I did a column where I just said, what would happen if there'd been no CCB? And I've got more comments on that column. Because, again, that's our history. That's what the young folks don't know. Was there one more comment, or was Ken?
Yeah. This is Gene.
Go ahead, Gene. I want to make sure, Gene, that everybody who wanted to talk one time has had a chance before I come back to you.
Okay, I had forgotten a comment.
Go ahead, Gene.
Okay, and the thing is, as we are desiring to expand our membership, we've talked about both the spectrum, the young and the aged. We also need to become more inclusive of the whole community, the full spectrum, but also persons with multiple disabilities that also have the visual lost too, because they fall between the cracks, and that population is increasing and will increase as greater medical breakthroughs come along. And I think that we need to become, for our own survival, I don't want to see the organization lost, but we need to think about that too. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
This is, Judy, may I have a chance to speak?
I didn't realize that there was somebody else. Is that David?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, David.
Sure. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. I, too, believe that CCB should be looking at a more professional staff, not that you already don't have one. In 3 years, I would like to see this organization be economically solvent, where we're not close to the pale, where we don't have to worry about whether the elephant in the room makes a difference or not. I'd like to also have us be more community oriented, where we're able to speak to the community. And I agree with Gene that there should be a liaison person who does this on a daily basis, that we are talked about as much as possible. And I also think that we should be inclusive and accepting of other disabilities, specifically because of medical breakthroughs. And certainly those individuals do deserve a chance to come and partake of what we are offering. They are visually impaired as well, and I'd like to see them as included in our organization. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And now I want to make sure I don't cut anyone else off.
This is Ed Crespin.
Go ahead, Ed.
My vision to see the CCB, it's going to take a while, but to create a mentoring program where we can have a connection of other people working in the field. So when we have clients, we can, with the Department of Voc Rehab, of course, we can refer these people to talk to teachers, to people who work with AT&T, to people who work at Sprint, to people who work at different organizations or different businesses, so that these individuals can talk to them and say, hey, how did you get this job? What does it take to be hired there? What can I shadow you if possible? That'd be really great. Now it's going to take a while down the road. I'd like to see this organization to really stay as a grassroots organization. I don't want to see ourselves falling into becoming an agency. I'd like to see the staff who are in our office to dress professionally. We are meeting people we don't even know. You come to a hotel, you don't even know if you're meeting a person like myself or a businessman who owns a company or some corporation, and you have to dress professionally in case you run into those people. You can't just assume we're just all here for a convention. I'd like to see the board have more control on what's going on in the office, and especially with the hiring and releasing of individuals. I don't think it should be handled by one person. Thank you.
Anybody else? I want to make several comments based on what I've heard. First, I'm going to look very carefully at what we've just talked about and see what we can start doing before we make a nickel. There's a lot of stuff in what you've reminded us of that we can begin doing now. So I definitely want to look at what we've been talking about and see, you know, what we can start implementing pretty much immediately. I also want to remind you that much of what we need to do, we can't do with, you know, with our first sort of big campaign. We have to pick two or three, like, we have to pick items that will resonate with the people we want to donate. But since they will have blind people in their future and stuff, we'll show them that what's important to them is what's important to us. But remember, we can't do all of this. But since money is the oxygen of organizations, and since, shall we say, NFB does a lot of what it does because it has created a lot of money. We're just going to do our best to, and again, we will be able to offer the, if we can bring in cash, unencumbered money, we will be able to offer the kind of things we want, not at the dictation of some grant we applied for. You know, the old model says you go out to foundations, you apply for a grant, but you've got to keep your expenses under 30% or they won't give you money. And you need a track record, by the way. So usually there's just so many strings tied to generally those kinds of grants, and so much you have to say you're going to do. As Lewis pointed out, you might as well use all that energy just cultivating big donors. It's the same amount of work in the long run, but you're getting money that you get to spend on things that you want to spend money on. So that is the why I'm, you know, the kinds of things you're mentioning are things that we're going to definitely be looking at. I also want to say that before we start thinking anything about a 2020 contract, I'm going to ask the board to look seriously at a cost-benefit analysis for convention expenses. Obviously, we are going to have a convention some way or another, but we may want to revisit how that looks, and especially before we start negotiating a 2020 contract. Also, I want to start. I want to convene. Somebody said the committees are dwindling. We will have committees to do whatever work we need to do. So we will have as many committees as it takes to do the work of the organization. So never fear. It's not like we're going to cut back on committees. We are cutting back on the technical definition of some of the standing committees, but that doesn't mean we won't have, you know, all kinds of committees or work groups, whatever we want to call them. And dear to my heart is looking at, since we're going to have to look at some of our legislative priorities, I'm going to look at convening a small subgroup to advise the board on what we can do more moving forward in legislative terms for next year, whether or not we bring in a lot of money this year. We need to bring back some kind of advocacy presence that doesn't just, you know, Jeff has asked that he can be relieved of his responsibilities, and that'll create a vacuum that'll be hard to fill. But we need to look at ways we can move on to create our advocacy effort, and as so many of us in the room feel, something much like what we did Thursday, but it takes a huge amount of organization. I'm not sure quite whether people realize how much work Jeff had to do to organize the 25 people who went out on Capitol Day. It's a huge amount of time and energy. And so I'm not asking for a motion from the board, but I will be coming back to the board with some recommendations about this committee and where we move forward. And then I want to talk about Zoom Cloud meeting. Rob Turner and Paul Patchy are working with Nicole and me to figure out how dummies like me can use this system to create meetings and stuff. We've bought a license for the year, so and I'm just laughing because we had a meeting scheduled like before convention, and I got on the phone and I'd forgotten to remind the guys and Nicole of the time and stuff, and we got one date confused. But we're going to shortly after the convention really get this Zoom Cloud meeting thing nailed so that we have good, clear meetings, and things that all of us can participate on the phone mostly. We're going to try to begin with by having most, you know, we're working it so that the phone system works. And so that's in our future. I've now given my sort of closing announcements that I was sort of saving. I want to know if the board would like to add anything, just kind of by way of our general comments. I don't want the board to put in their wish list right now, because you will get your chance at another time. Today was about hearing from our members. So, but if any board member has other concerns they would like to raise at this time, Peter, go.
Basically, we had a number of chapters that were unable to attend the convention, and we really need to do something to help strengthen our chapters and to make sure that everybody feels inclusive. And perhaps we can, if we ever get some funding, perhaps we can provide some stipends for chapters that can't afford to send people to conventions. We need to have every chapter represented at a CCB convention. And on a personal note, Judy, I hope we never end having in-person conventions. I think it's very important that we, one way that we build a community is to have an in-person convention. And also...
Don't get angry, Peter.
Okay. But I mean, I think it really provides an opportunity. And if we have donors and stuff like that in the local area, it would be a great PR activity that we could have. We could have a small fundraiser at each convention and invite potential donors to see how a convention runs and what activities and what great things the California Council of the Blind does. I just think we get a lot of synergy by meeting in person.
Yes, Linda.
Okay. Was really hoping the board would get to share our vision. And so I'm wondering when we can do that. I need a date, a time, and a place. And it's a little bit sad that we can't. We're not going to be able to do it in front of the room of our colleagues here.
The only reason I said that, Linda, is because I wanted to make sure we the board is going to get its chance, and it, you know, it will be involved in the whole process of creating what we do moving forward in terms of our case for support. But you know, I'm a good dictator. We've got time. So I would be glad to hear some of the board input. Yeah. So why don't you start?
Thank you. You got the mic. All right. Thanks so much. She is a good dictator. All right. She knows which way the wind is blowing. So I have two things. One of my visions is that as soon as we can financially manage it, that we should have in the Bay Area and in L.A. one paid staff person, a Jack or Jill of all trades who is connected to the central office but who operates maybe out of their home to begin with, not have a brick and mortar location for that, but somebody who represents CCB in those big areas and gets paid for it. That's number one. And number two is I think it's really, really important for us to reach out to include people of color and the LGBT community. You know, do we really, really need to get those folks in there? There's blind folks in those communities. We need to have them. We have some of them, but we need to really bring it forward. We had a long time ago this pamphlet, Failing Sight and the Family Flight. We had it in Chinese and Spanish. It's moldering in a box in the office. You know, it's just we need to get going and reach out to those communities for sure. Thanks.
Jeff, are you go next? Peter wasn't next, but Peter did start by mentioning the convention. And so, you know, we were sort of underway already, Linda. But Jeff is next.
I'm going to push back a little bit against Ed and others. It's not easy to undergo change, and I don't like some of the changes that we've had to undergo. But in today's world, I don't know what an agency is, by the way. I hear this, we don't want to be an agency. I'm not sure what an agency even is exactly. But I do know that if we're going to be successful, we have to move into the 21st century. And that includes, to some degree, a strong executive director model, whether you like it or not. And I don't always like it. But I know that that's the way it has to be, and that's the way successful nonprofits are going. We do need a board that's going to set the basic policies for this organization based on what the membership wants us to do. We do need a paid advocate. We do need all these things. But for an organization to have the expertise that it needs, the knowledge it needs, and the time that volunteers just cannot put in to do the things we need, we have to change. And we have to accept that some of the changes will not be what we would most like. And that's what I am, for good, bad, or indifferent, have one to say.
Which other board member would like the floor? I heard several. Artis is next. She's sitting next to me. She gets the mic next.
I think I understand what some thoughts are on, in regards to the CEO, but I think what would help would be that we have enough staff in the office that can answer the phone when people call. Because I think that has been one of the issues we've had, that people don't feel like they're important. They're put off. They don't get calls back for several days, et cetera. And we need to make sure that we have enough people that can answer phones. And it doesn't have to be paid staff. Until we can afford paid staff, why not have more volunteers come to the office?
Hey,
and I put out a message to people saying, hey, if you can volunteer in the office a couple hours or here and there. I know our church does that. We have volunteers in the office so that it's staffed all the time.
Artis, I just talked to a volunteer yesterday who's here working all day. She's a retired teacher. She wants to help in the community. I told her we desperately needed, I said, would it be beneath you to do office work? She said, I'm a former teacher. I know how to file. So I have real hopes that we can start get some volunteer help to help out in the office. And we know this is a huge requirement. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was so excited. Did you have more you wanted to say?
No, that's fine.
Okay, let's just keep moving on to my left, if anybody, if Frank would like. We'll just keep
okay,
moving
I
around
have,
the table.
Oops, I have the microphone.
Okay, and then Frank. After
okay. My three things would be, first, to be financially stable. Second would be to have a firm foundation. I think we need to look at our activities that we do, what we have to offer, and make sure that that's what we're really doing. We need to meet the needs of everybody, and part of the foundation would be to make sure those needs are being met. The third thing is to have a marketing plan so that our name is out in the public and they know that we're here. We're one of the better kept secrets. There's a few other organizations are, but the way to get our names out there is to start offering different programs and different services.
Okay.
Thank you.
Frank Welty. Three things that I would suggest we look into is, first of all, you can't be a grassroots organization unless you plant the grass. So with that in mind, I would like to see us develop a very solid, what I call a community building initiative, with a goal of building an organized CCB presence in every county in the state, and doing a program to build to bring blind people and communities together, to train and organize chapters, and to help every chapter get a signature project that serves the community everywhere in California. The second thing that I'd like to see us to do is to do something we've talked about for years, but it's been a nut we can't crack. We need to get a nutcracker, and that is to do a well-organized outreach to the medical community to get them up to speed on blind people. I am so tired of hearing about the doctors who say, oh, you've just gone blind, go home and sit in your rocker. It's time to get past that for good. The third thing is that I think we have an untapped opportunity to reach a community that we haven't thought about because of the changing role of the rehabilitation system that's really going more and more to a work model, to a youth focus, is that there is a growing segment of the blind community that's falling in through the cracks because they're not immediately
they're not under 20 or over 55.
Exactly. So I think that what we ought to look at is what can we do to reach out to the communities that aren't being served elsewhere. You know, I have a little bit of a peeve when we talk obsessively about reaching out to the youth. Everybody's reaching out to
right.
the youth.
Yeah.
And the youth are the small piece of the pie, actually. Most people who are blind are older. So let's figure out who are the communities that are really being underserved and go for them. Okay.
Moving on down the table, who's yep. next?
I've got...
Go ahead, Rob.
I've got a microphone.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about a saying that my mom used to tell us, and she'd say, a change is as good as a rest. And what I'm seeing here in CCB is I'm seeing a lot of passion, a lot of interest, a lot of enthusiasm, and I know change is very difficult, very hard to adjust, and I think it probably gets worse as you get older. But I'm really, I think this is showing that we will adjust, we will be resilient. A couple of things that resonated with me this morning is the idea of having regional, not offices, but regional people that would handle perhaps, you know, phone calls or referrals, emails, however that would work. I think that's a tremendous idea. I also think that employment is, you know, the most serious problem that our community deals with, and I think anything that we can do in that arena, you know, will be great. But right now, my main concern is fragmentation in this organization. We are at a point now, and we all know this, our financial solvency is the issue. And until we can turn this around, I want us all to pull together, and some of the things that we used to do, we may have to change a little bit, maybe not do it quite as much for the next year and a half or 2 years until we can really get back on our feet. And so, you know, I know I heard the concern about, you know, maybe not as many committees as there used to be and all this, but I think, you know, maybe temporarily that might just have to be the way it is. And that's it for me.
Aren't you glad we re-elected him to the board? Mm-hmm. And including, I shouldn't have just singled out Rob, but.
Okay, it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing that I would like to see in the next 3 years is three things. One, thank you, Frank, because people tend to forget about those of us in the middle. We say we want to mentor the young, we want to bring the young in, and we have the elders of, and they are our elders of this group who have been around since pretty much the dawn of time, and who are great mentors, but you forget about those of us in the middle who have worked, raised kids, have the experience to help pull this organization back up on its feet. And I truly, truly respect my own mentor on this board, and that's Jeff. Because I can email him and ask him a question, and he will email me back and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I truly appreciate that. And I think Jeff and my husband and other people have gave me the strength to travel by myself to D.C. So I think if we had more mentors, and I realize we're basically broke, but, you know, there's ways to work with that. We have another thing is chapters. We have to figure out a way to bring the chapters back up to par. Yeah. We have chapters in the southern area who didn't even bother to send anybody to the convention. And it's not that they don't have the money. They just didn't bother to do it. And that's wrong. My one other thing is diversity. We live in a very, very diverse state. And we need to figure out how to bring more cultures and people back of color, I don't care what color, back to this organization. Because that's what makes CCB and this state as strong as it is. Okay, that's it.
Who's that? Is that Linda? Ask. Oh, wait, Sarah, then you, Linda.
Hey, everybody. I think my main thing that I want to say is I think one of the biggest things that we need to do is to continue what we're doing here this morning and share all of these ideas. However, if we're going to talk about it, we got to do it. So, you know, don't just, you know, talk the talk, walk the walk, roll up your sleeves. We got a lot of work, but we can do it. And, you know, and I just want to encourage everybody here in this room to not just encourage yourself, but encourage others, encourage our members that didn't show up for convention to make it happen and look out in your community and find more and more people to continue our mission. And that's it. All
right. Linda Perel was asking for the floor again. And then you, did you say?
No, I'm about to say something that could be very unpopular, shocking, and uncomfortable for some people. We are talking about helping chapters to revitalize themselves. Sometimes, in my view, it's time for a chapter to hang up their skates and maybe consolidate with another nearby chapter, or somehow, you know, bring its resources to bear in another way. It sometimes there are just times when it's time to say goodbye to a chapter. And we need to speak with people in the chapters and talk about, really, do you want to continue? Let me give you an example. My friend David and I were talking last night about Solano. Sandy was here. She advocated to make sure that their votes counted, but then she needed to leave for personal reasons, which I won't go into. But it turns out that Solano chapter, several people are currently all at once moving away from the area, and we've seen things like Contra Costa go down and then come back up and what have you. I think it's important to think about putting chapters on hold or pause or having them say goodbye when it's necessary.
Artis was ahead of you then, Peter. Thank you. I'm hogging this mic. Artis,
that's okay. someone sparked an idea to me. The membership committee has an award for chapters who do projects. And I'm sure there are many chapters that do projects, but they don't bring them forward. We only had two chapters come forward with projects that they did this year. And I think if more chapters could be encouraged to do projects, and if they don't, to push them into doing them, but also for chapters to share what projects they do. Because I think it inspires other chapters to try a project. And even if it's not successful, they've tried to do something as a group. And I think that's a good way to get out in the media. Call a media person and say, hey, we're doing this project and we'd like to involve more people. And it's a good way to share our message. Plus, it's a good way to get our chapters more into the mode of actually wanting to get together and do things.
Thank you, Artis. Peter, you asked for the mic. He's coming down.
Yeah, my question is, I have a suggestion. One way to involve our at-large members would be to have a quarterly conference call and invite them to participate and get their views and just invite anybody who...
Did Vivian Younger come into the room? Okay, she's not here. But yes, Peter, that that's something that the membership committee I know has spoken about. We tried to have a call for at-large members, and it, because of communications, it didn't happen. But dear to my heart would be something like that. Well, I get to say my piece very lot, and I have a lot of wish things on the wish list, you know, including pay for the president to travel and to do things for the organization. And we'll get back there. We'll have opportunities. But remember, invite me to your chapters, and if you can pay my way, if you need, I would be thrilled to come. That makes it easier for me rather than to have the organization foot the bill. This is for a little while. We'll get better at all this. And I'll be sharing my ideas again with the board over time. But at the moment, I think we're going to be able to end a little bit early and give people a few minutes before they have to head to the next meeting. Is there any other business to come before this board? I want to give one final chance for hearing of the public. Is there anyone who still would like to say something else from our members here in the room?
On any issue.
Go ahead, Crispy. You know, Crispy Crespin, Crispy Cream. You know,
so I just want to say this. This is a wonderful organization. We love CCB. We are all family. Whether we argue, fight, kiss and hug, whatever, we're all family. Negativity doesn't belong here. Disagreement does, but we can agree to disagree, and we can do things in a positive manner. And let's practice an attitude of gratitude.
Okay. Go ahead, Anthony.
I've listened to everything that's been said here this morning, and I, for the most part, understand and agree with a lot of it. My fear is only this, and that is, you cannot be all things to all people. And that's why the focus needs to come in to, as Judy put it, three things that we're going to work towards. And all the ideas are very good, but I hear a lot of wanting to be all things to all people, and I just kind of get a little weird on that one. That's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Stephen Fort. Hi, Steve.
Hi. This is Steve from, well, actually, Bayview Chapter. High Desert Chapter. Next year we'll have a delegate.
Yay!
Whether,
yes, we're revitalizing our High Desert Chapter.
Whether they can afford to pay me or not, because I'm going to the convention anyway. So, but just as a general comment, I really hope that we emphasize and continue our tradition of democratic decision making, and that's what really separates us from other organizations that are not so democratically oriented with regard to the decisions that are arrived at. So that's generally my comment.
I'm going to have to cut it off after one more, if there is one more. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to the board meeting. Have a wonderful rest of the convention. Please go to the concert this afternoon if you are not coming. If anybody's coming to the scholarship reception, it is in my suite, which is room 312, as soon as we're done with the general session. If general session runs a little bit late, we may go to as late as 5, but we will gather for all those activities. But I particularly wanted to mention the location of the scholarship reception, which is President's Suite 312. Thank you, everyone.